Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, March 28th, 2013. The last time we heard from tonight's guest, he was crossing the country promoting his documentary, Hellbound. Now Abbotsford, B.C. filmmaker Kevin Miller plans to explore the link between violence and religion in his next project, a four-part documentary called Violence and the Sacred. Kevin's on the phone with us tonight from his home office in Abbotsford to talk about his latest projects. But before we get to the interview, let's listen to From You, For You, the title track from Dan McCauley's latest CD. Now to our interview with Kevin Miller. Good evening, Kevin.
Hey, good to hear from you.
Yeah. Now, the last time we talked, last time we heard from you was when you were running around Canada and the U.S. and you were promoting Hellbound. What's been the reaction to Hellbound now that you can sort of sit back and take it all in?
Yeah, well, overall, it was a really great experience. I think I hit at least 24 cities across the U.S. and Canada. It was a great experience. I travel all the way from Vancouver to Montreal with the film, doing Q&A screenings and that sort of thing. And I would say overall it's been quite positive. I mean, you make a film like Hellbound, it's definitely going to stir up some controversy and get some sort of negative reaction here and there. But I was actually surprised that the negative reaction wasn't stronger than it was. And maybe people are polite. If they didn't like it, they just remain quiet. But
we were Canadians.
Yeah, that's right. Although, you know, I have to say, of all the places I went, and I went all across the U.S. and up in Canada, some of the most energetic audiences, both negative and positive, were up here in Canada. So surprising that way.
So what has been some of the criticism of the film?
Well, I think whenever somebody makes a documentary film and somebody doesn't agree with it, one of the first accusations that comes to someone's lips is that it's biased or that it's not fair or that sort of thing. So, you know, I heard a few comments like that. Other people will say that sometimes we went after low-hanging fruit with some of the people we criticized, that sort of thing. So fairly general. I mean, there's always, and, you know, academics will criticize it for not having enough content. People who aren't academically inclined will say that it's got too much, you know, it gives you too much information too fast. So you really can't please everybody,
mm-hmm.
You know, but that's basically the basic nature of some of the criticism.
Was there anything that people were criticizing in terms of what your actual point was?
Yeah, you know, some like Christianity Today, for instance, was critical of the film because I didn't land on a particular position at the end of the film. And other people would say, well, that's actually a strength of the film,
mm-hmm.
In that yet it doesn't say, now that you know all this stuff, here's what you should believe. And really, my initial impulse to make the film was to try and provoke informed discussion on this, not to really become a champion necessarily of a particular point of view. I would say, if anything, the film is biased toward peace. And so how can we, you know, when you take a second look at your theology and look at the world that we're creating, you know, what are we ending up with? And so I would say that, you know, if Rob Bell wrote the book Love Wins, I would like to think that Hellbound is called Peace Wins, because I think that's really the most important thing.
Well, flipping from the, you know, the criticisms, what have been people been praising the film for?
Well, I think for opening up the discussion. There's definitely been books and, you know, websites and that sort of things that have tried to broach this topic, but I think what a documentary can do is get a bunch of people in a room together and have a shared experience that they then go out and talk about, and that's what I've heard over and over and over again. We just had a screening. Our last theatrical screening was in DeWitt, Iowa, over the weekend, and a pastor there emailed me a couple of times just to say, you know, how thankful she was to be able to have this opportunity to sit down with people afterwards and talk through these issues. I mean, it's not necessarily saying that people's minds are being changed one way or the other, but there's just a freedom to say, you know what, perhaps there is more than one way to look at this issue, and not just the issue of hell, but there's a whole raft of theological issues where we tend to use them as litmus tests to determine who's one of us and who's one of them, and that's really something that we're trying to do in the film as well, is to move these potentially divisive theological discussions forward to a place where they aren't causing division. They're actually causing people to engage. And I can say, even in my own church, there was, you know, my leadership was somewhat split on the film, and so we ended up having, you know, some pretty intense discussions about the issue. But I actually, in the end, thought it was a great thing, because I felt a lot closer to my leadership after this than before, because we were really brought together to engage. And to me, that's really the outcome I'd like to see from the film.
Well, looking at that, and one of the things I've always found in the stuff that I've created is, you always look at it when it's been finished and you think, I maybe could have done that a little differently. If you had to go and do it all over again, was there anything you'd change?
Yeah, I think something I would change is definitely to introduce more racial diversity in the film, and you know, definitely more women in the film. And that's something we kind of struggled with throughout production, was trying to cast a really wide net and get a very diverse range of views. And I think we succeeded on a theological level. Like, I think we have, you know, everyone from hardcore atheists to people who, you know, absolutely believe that the majority of humanity is going to hell. So we have a broad diversity there. But just, I think, bringing more perspectives, you know, from the developing world, for instance, and that sort of thing, I think that would help broaden the discussion and just inform it from more perspectives.
Now, would that make it longer, or, you know, maybe get you into two or three episodes?
Yeah, well, definitely, you know, I think we're at the outer limit of length. But no, it would just be a matter of, yeah, having some more diversity of voices. Although when I look at the film and say, well, who would I cut out? I can't say anyone. So, I mean, this is, one of the struggles that you're facing is, you know, going into this. And the other thing, too, is, I mean, it would have been great to include some folks like, you know, John Piper and Timothy Keller and some of the guys who really are promoting a very strong position one way or the other. And, you know, some of these people just weren't accessible to us at the time we were making the film.
Right.
We're all, you know, I feel very good about it. It was my first time out as a director, so of course you beat yourself up over all sorts of things. But you know, the fact that we were able to get it in theaters, and now we have a broadcast deal coming up in Canada. It's going to be on the Documentary Channel on April 1st and that sort of thing. I mean, that feels like a very nice validation that we actually did hit some of our goals.
Mm. Well, that was actually going to be my next question, was, now that you've done with the theater screenings and that, what's next for Hellbound? And you just mentioned the broadcast deal on the Documentary Channel. What are some of the other things that are going to be going on with it?
Yeah, I'll just mention that on April 1st we'll be on the Documentary Channel, but it's actually going to be a 52-minute version of the film, and so I think about it as an extended trailer. So if you see it on the Documentary Channel, I still encourage you to see the feature-length film. And we're going to be releasing on DVD and video on demand on May 28th, and that's going to be in Canada, the United States, all over the place. So, and actually, it will be in select retail stores across the country as well.
let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and continue our conversation with filmmaker Kevin Miller. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
My heart is coming out of fighting into your light. And you see what no one sees beside me through my disguise. And the thing that draws me in, away from all my sin, it's your mercy. Welcomes me in when I'm guilty. Wrapping your arms all around me when I'm ugly. It's your beauty. Even when you see right through me, even with all that's behind us, it's your kindness, it's your kindness. You spark a fire deep inside me, I can't ignore. So I'm leaving everything behind me. Now I am yours. It's your mercy welcomes me in when I'm guilty. Wrapping your arms all around me when I'm ugly. It's your beauty. Even when you see right through me, even with all that's behind us, it's your kindness, it's your kindness.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Your Kindness from the From You, For You, the latest CD by Dan McCauley. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Kevin Miller. You have just finished with Hellbound, finished running across the country, and you've started working on a new project. Can you give us a little bit of an idea of what's going on with Violence and the Sacred?
Yeah, well, one of the greatest discoveries for me in the making of Hellbound was a fellow by the name of René Girard. René Girard is in his late 80s now, but he, back in his heyday during his career, he had written a number of books that took a look at this question of violence and religion, trying to understand the connection. And so what he came up with was a theory that was quite fascinating. And from a Christian point of view, I think gives a really interesting perspective on Christianity, because he would say that, by and large, you can break religions down, I guess, into pre-Christian and Christian in terms of the way that they're structured. And so René Girard would say his theory is called mimetic theory, and there's three main parts to it. The first one is that imitation is really the fundamental aspect of the human condition. So even before, you know, scientists have shown now that even before we come out of the womb, we begin to imitate people in our environment. And so that the desires we have, rather than, we tend to think that we have there's a straight line between who we are and what we want. But in truth, we actually borrow all of our desires from the people around us. We learn what to like, we learn what not to like, and that sort of thing. And so this sort of thing has been validated by neuroscience and related fields. But the problem with imitation is that because we borrow our desires from other people, our desires tend to converge upon similar objects. And when there's a scarcity of those objects, we come into conflict with each other. And that's, you know, look at 2-3-year-olds in a room with a bunch of toys. One of them shows a desire for one of the toys, and suddenly he's in conflict with the other child who wants exactly the same toy. And so, you know, adults are no different than this. And so Girard postulated that adults and primitive societies found a way to deal with what he called mimetic rivalry, and that's through scapegoating. And so what we did was, because our desires were similar, there's a danger of early communities reverting to what Thomas Hobbes would call a war of all against all. And so what primitive people discovered was the way to solve the war of all against all was to turn it into a war of all against one, or a scapegoat. So all the community's tension would be directed toward an individual or a people group, somebody who's vulnerable, and that would bring peace to the community. And out of that comes this, really what Girard says is that a scapegoat goes through a double transfiguration. At the first, they're viewed as the source of all the evil, but upon their death or expulsion from the community, they become transfigured as sort of someone sent from the gods to bring peace.
Well, that sort of goes back to the Old Testament notion of the scapegoat.
Yeah, and he's borrowing the terminology. He's using it in a different way, but he's borrowing that terminology where, yeah, in the Old Testament, on the Day of Atonement, all the sins are spoken over the goat, and it's sent out into the wilderness. So this would just be saying, he's borrowing that term scapegoat to say that there's a dynamic that happens where we vent a community's aggression onto someone else as a way of bringing peace. And then this person is seen as afterwards as really a god. And so he's really developing a theory of how religions evolve. Now, the distinctiveness of the Bible is interesting because he'll say that basically all mythology is a way of hiding this violence that's at the heart of society. And what the Bible does is it comes along in both the Old Testament stories and in the New Testament stories, and it forces us to confront the violence and then to show us a way out of the violence. And so this is really where Jesus becomes the scapegoat. He becomes the one who brings peace in Jerusalem because all the groups are divided and there's trouble with the Romans. And so everyone unites around the death of Jesus, and it brings peace. But it's a false peace, and this is what Jesus comes to show, and this is why the resurrection is so important, because what it does is typically when a scapegoat is killed, everyone believes the scapegoat is guilty, is really truly the cause of all the evil. But in the case of the gospel, what happens is Jesus returns from the dead, and the disciples, it breaks the unanimity against him, and the
right.
disciples begin to proclaim that Jesus was innocent and that we're the ones who are guilty. And it's our violence, you know, that is the problem. And so what the Bible to Girard becomes is really what I would call a myth buster, is that it comes along and starts to speak back to all other mythology as a way of showing us the truth about our violence. But not only that, it's the way to escape it. And the way to escape it is through, you know, the example and the teachings of Christ, because what these things do is they undo the mimetic rivalry that got us into the trouble in the first place. So when Jesus says, you know, imitate me, follow me, when he says, don't return evil for evil, because that's just imitating your enemies, love your enemies, don't persecute them, these are ways of completely disrupting the cycle of mimetic violence that humanity's trapped into. So what I want to do is I want to make a four-part documentary TV series that really expounds on these ideas. And the four questions I'm wanting to answer in the series is, why are we violent? Why are we religious? What's the connection between violence and religion? And how can we be religious without being violent? And I think this is just really one of the most pressing concerns of our age. When you look at so many issues that we face around the world, this connection between violence and religion always seems to be lurking in the background. And I think in the minds of a lot of people, the way to get rid of religious violence is to get rid of religion. And I think what that represents is just a profound misunderstanding of what religion mm-hmm. is and the function that it actually performs in society.
Well, I think that was part of the theme of Karen Armstrong's The War Against God, I think was the title of that book.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at this, and I'm sort of interested, it sounds like a fascinating topic, but I'm also interested in sort of the process that you're going to go through now as a filmmaker. So now that you've come up with the idea and you've sort of started formulating it, what happens next? What are sort of your next steps as you develop this and create this four-part documentary?
Well, I'm taking a bit of a unique approach to this one in that what I've done is I've put together a lengthy PowerPoint presentation that really walks people through the material that I want to present in the film. And what I want to do is workshop the material with a number of different audiences through doing speaking presentations. And so I've already booked a few different engagements in British Columbia and in Alberta, looking out to Saskatchewan and, hey, maybe Ontario if anyone's interested. But I think it's just really helpful to to workshop the material like this to find out what's making sense to people, what are people finding difficult to understand, what are some maybe gaps in the argument and that sort of thing. I'm a big fan of Walt Disney, and what Walt Disney did when he made his films, particularly when he made Snow White, which was his, you know, breakout hit, was he would tell the story of the film to anyone he could corral for 15 minutes. And he would just tell that story over and over and over again, paying very close attention to the effect it was having on other people until he felt that he had really nailed it. So I'm a big fan of that. If, you know, going into a big project like this, I just really want to make sure that I'm completely dialed in on the material. And so that's what I'm doing. So, yeah, if there's anyone out there who's interested in this topic, I'm definitely interested to come and do some speaking.
So, sir, it sounds like the same way a playwright would workshop a play.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, it just exactly. Just trying to get it dialed into the bare essentials and to make sure that it's really communicating. Because, you know, this is one of the things that people, even within the mimetic theory or Girardian community, they struggle with trying to communicate their ideas to a popular audience. And so that's really what I feel my role can be as a filmmaker, is to, you know, take some of this stuff that people have written really brilliant academic literature on and boil it down to a 101 course that really makes it accessible to a very broad audience.
Well, we need to take one final break. And after that, we'll wrap up our conversation with a filmmaker, Kevin Miller. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Arts Connection. You've been listening to Amazing from Dan McCauley's latest CD, From You For You. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Kevin Miller tonight. Looking at that whole aspect of taking the presentation out, and that, what kind of time frame do you have in terms of getting the film, getting the documentary done?
Well, I have not set a firm production schedule yet. I would like to be in production by this fall, but, you know, there's many a slip between a cup and a lip, as they say. And so I'm at the stage right now in filmmaking, which would be called development. I'm also doing fundraising for the project, connecting with various interest groups and that sort of thing. But I would be looking at probably, hopefully, being in production by the fall. But I don't have a firm schedule on that. This is the kind of thing that, you know, it's going to be a big project. It's going to be very complex with a lot of different moving parts. So it's not something that you want to rush into.
Right. Getting names and lists of people that you want to interview as well?
Yeah, that's right. I'm actually going to be attending a conference called the Colloquium on Violence and Religion this July, which takes place in Iowa. And it's a gathering of memetic theorists from all across the world. So I'll be spending some time there, actually shooting some initial interviews there. But yeah, it's a matter of really discerning who are the best people to talk to, what are the best ways to illustrate this theory, you know. For instance, advertising is a great way to demonstrate how we use other people's desires to, you know, acquire desires ourselves. And so looking at some of these different examples that will really help make this understandable.
Right. Well, if someone's interested in hosting a PowerPoint presentation, how do they get a hold of you?
They can actually reach me through the Hellbound website, hellboundthemovie.com. There's a contact page there. That's probably the best way to reach me right now.
And same with Hellbound is probably the best way to take a look at you and what some of the other projects you're doing?
That's right. Hellboundthemovie.com is the place to go. And, the DVD and video on demand and all that's going to be coming out May 28th. Stay tuned on our website. We also have a Facebook page where we're constantly putting out news about the film and upcoming projects and that sort of thing.
Great. Well, Kevin, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Great. Thank you, Robert.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection tonight. Thanking my guest, Kevin Miller, and be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.